You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
My guest on here today, she's a leading expert in vocational rehabilitation for injured workers. As a formerly injured worker herself, she understands the importance of providing hope, resources, and services to injured workers. She earned her master's degree in educational psychology and proceeded to open the counseling center in 2001, fighting for her clients' rights to education. She's owned nearly one dozen businesses, including one of LA's top restaurants, the Nixon in Whittier, I don't know if I'm saying that right, sorry, California, and the designer sensation Savvy Socks. In her Amazon number one best-selling book, and this is an incredible title. This has to be one of my favorite titles I've ever heard. In her Amazon number one best-selling book, From Bounce Checks to Private Jets. Who likes that? Who likes that title? I mean, that's a title that'll get you. She shares her journey and guides the readers through the formula she discovered to live the life of her dreams and help others do the same. And so we met in a very private environment, touring and spending time with Dr. Joe Dispenza. And so we were over, taking a look at his research center, which was my first time being there. I don't know if that was her first time or not. And got to spend a little bit of time with her and just wanted her to share her journey with you to inspire you, to give you hope, to lift you up. And I think you're in for a real treat today. And so please help me welcome Hazel Ortega. Hazel, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Yeah. And so you heard my thoughts on your book title. That's incredible. I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, I still remember getting my WIC checks and finding my 16-ounce block of cheese. Like, I still remember WIC checks. I still being chased by bill collectors. I remember all that stuff. And so I really resonate with your book. And so Hazel, tell us your story. Cause I don't know if anyone on here said they had heard your story yet. So let's hear this amazing story of yours.
That's right. Let's get it out there and share it with as many people as possible. That's my big, hairy, audacious vision, is that I change the world through my story. Yeah. And my story, like you just coined me, like overcoming challenges and adversity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you could look up adversity in the dictionary, you'd see my face there.
There she is.
where do I start? I grew up in downtown Los Angeles in a 60-unit apartment building where we were all poor on welfare. My memory of having money was waiting for the mailman on the 1st and the 15th to get a check. And my mom would go to the check cashing to cash that check. And then, of course, use food stamps to buy food. And then use all the money because it was never enough. There was five kids and a single mom. So there was never more money than we needed. It was just barely enough. And sometimes we had to borrow $5 and pay back $7. And a lot of bartering happening in that building. Like, you take care of my kids 2 hours, I'll give you a carton of eggs. I need milk, I'll give you a ride to the store. And like, that's kind of the economy that was happening in the building. And by the time I was born, my parents were already separated. And then my mom married and divorced many times. She had five husbands and seven children with all the different men. And that by itself is traumatizing. I'm sure you know, like, divorced parents and like that situation alone is damaging. And so my mom did that five times throughout my upbringing.
Wow.
And, you know, when kids are growing up and a parent breaks up from a stepfather, a kid is not like, oh, I'll love you less because you're my stepfather. You know, you just love. And so when somebody leaves, it's an abandonment. And this manifested itself in my adult life in that I ran all my relationships like, you love me, but you could leave me.
Mm.
Yeah. And
that's a powerful distinction.
Wow.
A lot of people think that, but they don't know they think that.
Exactly. Exactly. So right now, my present life, I'm all about mastering myself and finding out what are these hidden agendas? What are these things that are making me, pushing my buttons? Like, why is that happening? Because the reality is not what I'm inventing. It's something else. And then when you find out, you're like, oh, I could choose different. But when you don't know, you just think that that's just real. And we believe our thoughts and we believe our feelings like it's something real. So that's something that we can talk about. I've dealt with a lot of that. And then another thing growing up is I grew up in a dangerous neighborhood where there were drive-by shootings almost every day. Mm. And when I was 12, my best friend was killed at the bus stop. And the next day we found out that he was killed. The day we were there, the gang members came up and asked us what gang we were from. And like always, we'd run away. I was in the sixth grade. Wow. And then the next day we found out that one of our friends was stabbed and killed. Then my cousin was killed in a drive-by shooting. And I had another cousin killed by the police. And then when I was 19, my mom shot and killed her boyfriend in a domestic violence dispute.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of violence. And when you grow up like that as well, you feel like you don't matter. And people don't matter. Right? If anybody could just die, then we're very cynical. Right? And I grew up just believing that life was hard and that I was destined for a life of poverty, a life of scarcity and struggle. And that is what happened to me until I started doing some work on myself and discovering what are these things that shaped me to who I am today?
Powerful. So, yeah. So I've been figuring out, what did you call them? Hidden agendas. I like that. I've never heard that term. I've heard triggers. I've heard programs. I've heard, stored emotion. I've heard all kinds of stuff. And I've found a few. For me, my big one was, because I was in a house of abuse, that I've carried a statement with me most of my life up until less than a year ago that I'm not a priority. Mm. And so, I was left there, just you're there and that's what it is. And so like my every relationship, business and personal, I would locate evidence for that hidden agenda and say, oh, I'm not a priority. Got it. And so that's great that you're sharing that. More people need to hear that. And so some people, they have a, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired kind of moment, or was it a different moment? Like was there a moment that you're like, all right, I'm going to change?
Yeah, I did get sick and tired. I had a pile of clothes, dirty clothes. And I had three kids at home. Remember I told you my mom shot and killed her boyfriend?
Yeah.
She became a fugitive for 5 years after. Wow. Yes. So she was pregnant when this incident happened.
Wow.
And she didn't want to lose her baby, basically. Right. So she said, just let me have the baby and then I'll turn myself in. The baby was born and then she didn't want to give up the baby.
Yeah.
And then she said, just wait until he talks and then I'll turn myself in. So I kept going on that way.
Who is she saying this to? You?
To like, the family.
To the family. Okay.
Yeah. And finally she was turned in, and the boys that she left with, because she fled with a 1-year-old baby and then she was pregnant. So the sixth and seventh child that she had, she fled with them. And when she went to prison, they came to live with me. So they were 4 and 6 years old when they came to live with me.
And how, and you?
I was about 29.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know when this, okay. Got it.
Because she fled. So I was I was in my late 20s.
Okay.
And I had a 2-year-old daughter. So I instantly had three kids at home, a 4 and a 6-year-old. And I raised them as my own. I'm their sister mom. Hmm. And yeah, I was barely making it. I was a secretary. I was making $15 an hour. I was frustrated. I was having problems with my husband. and I didn't know how to solve my problems.
Yeah.
I did have a moment where I came home after a long day's work and I saw a pile of dirty clothes. And I'm like, as God is my witness, by the time I turn 40, I'm never washing clothes again. And honestly, like today, I don't wash clothes. I don't wash dishes. I don't do anything. I'm protesting for the rest of my life. Luckily, I don't have to. I have a very helpful full-time housekeeper at home, and my dreams are coming true one by one.
Nice.
So what other thing that happened to me, you know, a lot of people say, Hazel, you grew up poor, you grew up in violence and with parents in prison. My dad was a heroin addict, He was in and out of prison my whole childhood. And they say to me, if you can make it and be successful in that situation, then anybody can make it. And I tell people that that's not really true, because I had a certain set of circumstances in that people helped me. Right. Like, I don't really feel, and I know, you know, this, Ray, anybody that's successful, you know, we got help. We don't do it on our own.
Right.
We get help. The thing that we do on our own is that we listen. Right. We take advice. Yeah,
right. I heard just last night, I've never heard it said this way, and I liked it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink just because you're thirsty for them. And so, you know, like so many of us were like, I want to help this person, but they don't want to help themselves. And, you know, if you don't want to help yourself, there's nothing that anybody can do. You know, you were presented different choices and you chose, hey, I'm going to try to help myself. And, you know, and that's when different resources, you know, show up and support you. And exactly. So, yeah, I don't like what's the term? Self-made or something. Like, I don't like that term because that just doesn't resonate with me. So I agree with you 100%, but yeah, freedom of choice. I choose this path and I got help along the way.
Exactly. And so I call these people that came around along the way, pushy angels, you know, like, nice. My first boss, when he hired me, he asked me, you're in college, right? I was 26 years old. I had 3 kids, I was married, and I didn't even have a high school diploma.
Nice. Okay.
When you grew up with violence and every day is survival, just make it to the end of the day. That's it. You're not thinking about college. You're not having dreams and you're just defaulting by getting a job wherever you can get a job. But my dad always told me, Ray, fake it till you make it. So I told the attorney that I was applying for the job that, yes, I was in college. So I'm like, I'm just going to get the job and then I'll worry about that part later.
Sure.
And I started.
Until you completed college. I mean, that would have been, you know, a bolder move.
Yeah. No, he only asked me, you're in college, right? Because I was young, you know, but he did also in the same interview ask me what gang I was from. So who you see today in front of you is not who I was back then. Yeah. Yeah. And what I want to tell people is that we evolve. We don't always stay in insecure, low self-esteem spaces. You know, sometimes it feels like we're not have the capacity to climb the mountain, but we are evolving along the way. And maybe we don't have that tool now, but if we learn a certain thing, then we start adding to ourselves into our self-esteem. So when I went back to work and the attorney told me, okay, what classes are you taking? I started to go to college, but only to, you know, not be lying to the man.
Right. Right.
Not because I thought I was going to get a degree.
Right.
Not at all. And along the way, I got my high school diploma when I was 30.
Wow.
Yes. And then the attorney kept asking me, okay, what are you going to do next? What's next? Like this, like a mentor,
that's, you know, awesome. This
pushy angel. Finally, I'm getting my AA degree and he asked me what's next. And I told him, hey, no, I just want to be a well-rounded person. And I could see myself working for you for the rest of my life. And I was making $15 an hour. And he's like, what? No way. He's like, you're going to be a professional. Think about what you want to do.
That's awesome.
I went home. Yeah. I went home and I told my husband I'm like, oh my God, now he's telling me that I have to go to get a higher degree. And I go back to work, and he told me, I will support you in any which way I can. I'll give you time to do homework. It was amazing, this man, what he did for me. And every time I graduated from school, my MBA degree, my bachelor's degree, and my master's degree, he was there at all my graduations.
That's amazing.
And I became an educational psychologist when I was 36 years old.
That's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And so what turned the corner for you in regards to like abundance? Like you started making different moves to start making more money, or like what, how did that go?
Well, I did go to school and I did learn how to be a psychologist. I learned a job, right? You go to school and you learn how to do a job. That didn't teach me how to live a life of abundance.
Sure.
Right? It just taught me how to do the job. And now, instead of making $40,000 a year, I was making $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I really thought, again, that's as good as it gets for me. I was a psychologist, 36 years old, and fist fighting with my sisters. My sister was a police officer.
Wow.
And we were fist fighting. Okay. Our lives didn't work. I was bouncing checks. I already had a business. I started my business from my garage. I couldn't afford an office, so I worked from home. And this is way back before COVID.
What kind of business?
It's a vocational return to work counseling for injured workers.
Okay.
In California, if you're injured on the job and you lose your job due to the injury, by law, the insurance company pays for you to go back to school and learn something new, if you choose to. And then we're counselors, so we get paid to do that job.
Nice.
Yeah. And so we love that job. We're the largest in California. So I went from the garage to becoming the largest in California.
Wow.
And how I did all of that is personal development, right? Because you can't have these moments of frustration, and then all of a sudden your life changes. Like, you have to do something. And for me, it was personal development. My relationships weren't working. I was already divorced by this time, and I had broken relationships. I was broke in every aspect that you could think of. Mm-hmm. And I went to a personal development seminar. And that is where somebody asked me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I was sitting there and I'm like, well, why should my life look any different 5 years from now than it does now? I'll just be 5 years older.
Yeah.
And if I'm lucky, I'll have cost of living increase at work and, a little side passive income, and I'll be doing just fine paying my bills. Well, the lady comes back and asks me, okay, where are you going to be in 5 years? And I told her that I couldn't come up with anything. And she said, okay, I'll be back in 10 minutes. And she left me there again alone. And I could tell that she wasn't going to let up. So she's another pushy angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I can't come up with anything because my brain hasn't seen me have abundance. If anything, it's scarcity. Yeah. Anytime I pay a bill, I pay it begrudgingly. At the end of the month, I'm already broke, broke and negative in my bank account. So I can't say I want to have a lot of money and be successful and ride in nice cars because I know I don't have any money.
Right.
So that's why I couldn't come up with anything. What I did was, I was sitting there and I'm like, well, if I believe in God and I believe in miracles, what could I invent for the next 5 years?
Nice.
Where would my life be? And then my brain allowed me to see the vision of that.
Nice.
And so that's the miracle technology that I teach in the book. So the book is called From Bounce Checks to Private Jets.
Yes.
The Mastery of Miracles.
I love it.
Okay. And so I now create a vision for my life based on miracles. And what happened was that I saw my vision and I fell in love with it. I didn't know that I wanted those things until I came up with those things.
Right.
I wanted a $3 million plus business. I wanted to find the love of my life. I wanted to get along with my sisters, like if we were in heaven. And remember, we were fist fighting at the time.
Yeah.
I said I wanted a life that looked like I was always on vacation.
Nice.
You know it. And I wanted to fly in private jets.
Yeah.
And I wanted to live in a pimp daddy mansion.
Nice. I love it.
All this while I'm bouncing checks and negative in my bank account.
Yeah.
And I wanted my daughter to go to college.
Yeah.
This, I could not come up with all of this unless I was relying on a miracle. Yeah. Right. And so then my brain allowed it and I saw all the details of it in my mind.
Nice.
And then I drew it. And one day, Ray, when you come to my house, you're going to see that I have that drawing framed in my dining room. Yeah. And everything I got in 2 years, not five.
Nice. I've two things from that story, which is amazing and so awesome. And people that are on here need to hear that. So it's just awesome. So two things. One, just the practical of, you know, we as humans tend to overestimate what we can do in 1 year, but grossly underestimate what we can do in 5 years. And so that's, I was going to ask you, did it take 5 years, but you just said it took 2 years. Number two, one thing, you know, that we teach is the reason most people don't change is they're vibrationally congruent with where they are. And so they're just constantly noticing, you know, what they don't have. They don't look, you know, they're just like, I don't have it, you know, and you became vibrationally incongruent with your current results. And so although your senses, your eyeballs and your nose and teeth and everything could still taste all of this and smell all of this, you were vibrationally at a different level, which your results had to kind of catch up with. And so, you know, most people they're just, yeah, but, and they're like, well, why do you need to change? You don't, you're vibration congruent. Congratulations.
Yeah. You know what ended up, you're absolutely right. And I love that word. When I drew the vision of getting along with my sisters, like we were in heaven.
Yeah. That's so cool.
I knew what that looked like. And so when I was in real life with my sisters and they're starting to argue with me or we're upset, and that is incongruent to what my brain saw.
Right.
And what I took responsibility and I said, well, if I want to get along with my sisters, then I need to respond differently than I always do. So I took accountability for that. And so nice. I'll give you an incident. One of my sisters loves to flip tables over. Okay. When she's angry and there's nowhere to go except, you know, get violent, she'll flip the table over with food and drinks and anything on it. So I saw this moment where I could see that this is the next thing that's about to happen. And so I tell my sister, I love you. I love you. And she's like disarmed, right? Like she's like taken aback really. And she's like, and I'm like, I love you. And I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you this way. I didn't know that this would hurt you that way. And I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I hurt you. And otherwise, the person before the vision would have been like, you know, I could have justified myself for what was happening. I could, we all could be right. You know, right. Sure. You could be right. If both sides, they're both right. Somebody has to take 100% responsibility if you want something to change. So then I took 100% responsibility because I know that if I had acted differently, what was happening wasn't supposed to be happening. Could have been avoided.
I love that.
And the best way to disarm somebody is to tell them something like that. Like,
yeah,
love them. I took 100% responsibility. I mean, in the beginning, of course, we want to go back to our default. We want to be right. Honestly, people will live and die to be right.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if I don't talk to that person for 10 years. Like, you know, like it's like the most dumbest thing. I've seen people die. And the person that wasn't talking to them just feels so guilty about that.
Yeah.
You think you have all this time. You're waiting for that person to come back and apologize. It's just not going to happen. So then you come and you know what? And it behooves us to do it because that's how you get abundance. You're not going to be a satellite of abundance and downloads of miracles if you are not getting along with your family and your friends. Like that is not going to happen. It's three dimension. You know how that is, really low energy. Yeah. You're not going to attract the best that life has to offer. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, like I manifest anything that I want. And anytime that somebody's upset with me, Even if I don't agree, I will write that check to the plumber who overcharged me. I will pay a friend of mine that thinks I owe more for dinner, whatever. I mean, if that, you know, happens to happen, I always default and make the other person right. And because in my space, I want clear lanes for that download of miracles to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. And multiple things from that. So, you know, one, if you're of abundance, you're of abundance. And so like, you know, to pay a little bit more, even though, it, you know, it's questionable or whatever, that's of abundance, and it releases that energy chain from you. So you don't have that chain of energy that's kind of bothering you in the back of your head. And talking about your 100% responsibility, I love that. When I was working through my programs, and, you know, one of them being, I'm not a priority. All right. You know, I remember as I was working through that, I told, you know, I would tell my wife, like, you know, hey, I just want to let you know that, you know, this scenario really triggered me. I'm not a priority. I'm working through it. And I'm just letting you know that. And she goes, oh, you know, what do I need to do? I'm like, you don't need to do anything. It's my problem. And so like, and she didn't need to do anything. You know, I was just, when I was building that muscle, I needed to express what was typically suppressed. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't, you know, gained me enough momentum to now I, you know, at least I haven't recently, you know, but if I am triggered, I'm aware of it and I can choose a different path than the automatic emotional addiction, you know, that used to fire. And so I love 100% responsibility is such a key thing, because most people are like, yeah, you know, if only he'd do it, or if only she'd pay attention, you know, and it's like, that's not how it works. That's how it stays forever. And so it's crazy.
Yeah. And you know, one quick thing you can do, Ray, and any listeners, your gut is a great indication of what's really happening. So if it feels heavy, it's probably not true. Mm. You're lying to yourself. So your triggers could be, I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. I'm not that smart. I'm too old. Those could be like kind of triggers.
Yeah.
And if it feels heavy, it's a lie. Anything that's light is the truth.
Hmm.
Right. Yeah. And so like your wife could come to you and tell you, like, you know, Ray, you've been home at 8 o'clock every single night. And like, you could consider that to be nagging and not understanding and supporting you. Or you can, and that's heavy, or you can think she really loves me and wants me around.
Yeah.
And so you have a choice of which thought you're going to accept. And we're always inventing, and it's our own invention, right? Like the meaning of those two things. Might as well choose the one that's light.
Yes.
That is what has helped me so much with my personal relationships.
That's awesome.
Honestly, when I started working on all my personal relationships, it's when I started to get very successful and a lot of momentum. I 10x'd my business.
Nice.
I met somebody who came up to me. I mean, tell me if this doesn't sound like a miracle to you, Ray.
Sure.
I said I wanted to make $100,000 a month. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was making maybe $4,000 to $6,000 a month.
Okay.
Within 8 months, somebody came to me and said, hey, you know, you're an expert in your field and I know how to run Fortune 500 companies. Why don't we partner up and I'll help you? And I said, no, I don't want to have partners and I don't have any money to invest and I don't have any time. I already work 10 hours a day. I can't do more. And he said, no, I'll take care of it all. I'll manage it all. And then shortly thereafter, I was making $50,000 a month, taking home that, and then plus every month growing and growing until one day he even told me, congratulations, you're a millionaire.
Nice.
That, like, I attracted that.
Yeah.
Abundance, right? I'm no longer fighting with my sisters. It's not something that happened overnight. I was working. I always work on it. I always work on myself. And then I change, and then people change. You know, the reactions change. And so I have a whole new world. So yeah, miracles can happen that way. You don't even know how it can happen. anybody, you don't have to win the lottery. Somebody could come and knock on your door and say like, hey, I drove by your house and I'm willing to give you three times the amount. I really want to live here. You just never know what people are going to offer you.
That's
just have to be a conduit for miracles. You know, you have to clean up your act. That's one of the chapters from the book. So like, I make a list of all my areas of my life where I have broken promises. You know, like that rescheduling appointments. You know, like sometimes we have misunderstandings with people about like deals, you know, whatever. Broken relationships.
Expectations or just keeping in integrity, it sounds like.
Totally keeping it in integrity. Just recently I had this situation where I have a lot of coaches, which is another thing that's really important. You must have coaches. I didn't know that there was another way to be until I started getting a coach, and the coach would hear me speak and be like, I don't know where you learned that from, but that's not the way it is. You know, I mean, how are we going to run million-dollar businesses if we've never done that before? You know, without like running ourselves to the ground. Yeah. So I have 7 years that I haven't worked. I don't have an office.
That's awesome.
I have a building that I bought and it has offices for everybody, but I don't have one in that building.
That's awesome. That's so cool. So tell us, people are dying to know, where do they get this book? Share from bounce checks to private jets, which is, I love the title. I'm just love it. Where do we get this book?
You can get it directly from my website at themasteryofmiracles.com.
Okay. Let me make sure I got that. Themasteryofmiracles.com. Miracles, plural.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
The Mastery of Miracles.
You'll get it signed.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah. And it's in Spanish also.
Okay. There you go.
It's a great stocking stuffer. So if you... hurry up, you'll get it. And you can give it away to somebody
else. Are you sure you want to guarantee they're going to get it by Christmas?
We'll see. It's on. It's also on Kindle. And
okay. So it's on.
You'll get it autographed. Nice. One other thing I do want to give away, Ray, to everybody listening, that vision guide that I told you made all the difference for me, that got me out of Groundhog Day. Is on my website also.
Okay.
So you could sign up for it for free. It's a 4-minute guided meditation. Nice. So you can visualize where you're going to be in 10 years, who's going to be there, what are you going to be up to, what awards are you getting? And there's a downloadable worksheet so you could fill it out. And then I promise you that you are going to be a lot more closer to having your dreams come true, filling out that worksheet and doing this guided meditation than you were before.
Awesome.
So even yourself, Ray.
Totally. I'm
That's the secret to my success. I create a vision for everything that I want.
Awesome.
And they're big, hairy, audacious visions. Like today, I'm impacting 1 billion people on the planet within 10 years. That's my vision.
I love it.
And I already know what I'm going to look like when I'm 95 years old. And my vision goes all the way until I'm 95. So that is my best recommendation for everybody is to, you have to know where you want to go.
Yeah.
Create big dreams.
So they get it at themasteryofmiracles.com.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Yes. And then they can find me always on Instagram.
I'm going to give you, I'll let you know when I go through it because I will. And so Hazel, this was amazing. This was awesome. I know how busy you are being on vacation all the time and flying around on private jets. But I do appreciate you taking time with us. My people are super excited. So many of them, I'm getting the book. So we're going to get your book in the hands of a few people today and a bunch of people that catch the replay. If you're catching the replay, drop us the word replay and the masteryofmiracles.com.
Exactly.
Is where you get that that meditation, that vision guide, and also you can grab her book. And so, Hazel, you're amazing. Drop some gratitude for Hazel for sharing her amazing story, giving you some free stuff, and also telling you where to get her cool book.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.